In Nazareth, the narrow road that tires the feet and steals the breath passes a place that once abode the carpenter of Nazareth. And up and down the dusty way, the village folks would often wean, and on the bench beside him lay their broken things for him to mend. A maiden with a doll she broke, a woman with a broken chair, a man with broken plow or yoke said, "Can you mend it, carpenter?" And each received the thing he sought, in yoke or plow or chair or doll, the broken thing which each had brought returned again a perfect whole. So up the hill the long years through, with heavy step and wistful eye, the burdened souls their way pursue, uttering each the plaintive cry, "O carpenter of Nazareth, this heart that's broken past repair, this life that's shattered nigh to death, O can you mend them, carpenter?" And by his kind and ready hand, his own sweet life is woven through our broken lives until they stand a new creation, all things new. The shattered substance of the heart, desire, ambition, hope, and faith, bend thou into the perfect path, the carpenter of Nazareth. The carpenter of Nazareth is in the fixing business. But there's two things that we need to recognize in order to use the resources of the carpenter of Nazareth. Number one is that there is something that is broken. And number two, that there is a willingness to share that brokenness with the carpenter so that it can be repaired. Mark chapter 10, I believe, gives us a picture of a typical day in the life and the ministry of Jesus. It's the kind of things that he did throughout his ministry often, as there were those that brought those that were sick, and those that were lame, and those that were blind, those that needed to be healed. They were broken. They needed fixed. And so they brought them to Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, for mending. And I believe that as we look at Mark chapter 10, a very unique experience happens that has not often happened in the ministry of Jesus here in Mark chapter 10. As we see, Jesus begins to bless the little children. In verse 13, "And they brought the young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that had brought them." And so here in the busyness of the day, Jesus takes time to minister to those little lives, those young souls, and he's willing to take the time out of the busy day to do such and to do that. And he says, "Permit the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. And verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, he shall not enter into it." And he took them up in his arms and his hands upon, and put his hands upon them and blessed them. I think there would have been no parent here this evening that would have been more joyous than the parents of that day when Jesus takes time to minister to their children. He had a lot of other things that he could do. He had a lot of other people that were important people that he could have ministered to. And there were a lot of important people, I believe, waiting in the outskirts of the crowd that wanted him to minister to. But in the quietness of this day, in these few verses, we have Jesus taking the time to minister to the little children. And he uses this as an example of teaching. It's one of those teachable moments that we talk about in the world in which you live, where Jesus takes these little children and he puts them into the midst of all. And he says that unless we can receive as a little child, we shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, we go on farther, where we see that there was a young man, I believe, that stood in the outskirts of this multitude. And it seems to me that as he reflects on the brokenness of his own life and the willingness to seek mending from the carpenter of Nazareth, we find him, I believe, coming to Jesus in what we call a spiritual crisis. For this rich young ruler, he comes running and kneeling and asking him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He was in a spiritual crisis. He was in time of reflection. I believe he came to the realization that something was broken in his life and that it needed to be fixed. And as he watches Jesus minister to these children, he understood that he had the ability to fix and to repair. He watches Jesus blessing these little children. Although he was busy several hours prior to this, we believe, preaching and healing and laying hands on individuals and praying for people, as the mothers bring their children to him, Jesus touches them, pats them, and he sits there on a rock or a stone or on a log, we don't know, and he ministers to those little children. And his disciples say, "No, no, no, Jesus, you're much too busy. There are too many important people that need your ministry than for you to minister to these little children around you." But Jesus does not stop. He continues to minister to the little children, and he tells them to bring him to him. Well, it must have been a very touching scene, a moment of reflection, a time, I believe, when this young man finds himself in a spiritual crisis. And he sees that what these children have, he wants, but he doesn't have. They are free. They have joy. They're uninhibited. They have a bright sense of security and well-being in the presence of Jesus. And all these challenge-like things, Jesus says, belongs to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven. This young man, I believe, finds himself in a spiritual crisis, recognizing that he is broken, and that the carpenter of Nazareth can fix what is broken. There is a larger question that arises as we think about this young man, that he is a sense also not just in a sense of confusion about his spiritual state or crisis, but he's in a sense of confusion about what life was all about and what the meaning of life must be. And he says, "I want to know what it is that needs to happen for me to enter into eternal life." In this quiet, simple encounter with Jesus, the Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, who is in the fixing things, sees this young man as he comes in his inadequacy. Yes, this young man was influential. He wasn't the beggar on the street, or he wasn't the derelict in the corner where no one wanted to be with. But he was a young man that he had worked hard in life to be what we would say good. He had tried all the things in life that he knew to try in order to do the right things. In our day and age, we would say, well, he went to church. He gave regularly to the offerings. He did service and volunteer work. He cared for the widows and widowless. And on we could say, that's a picture of what we would say in our day and age. And this young man tried to do all those things, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And so he comes to the realization that as he comes in the presence of Jesus, he has met someone who has the answer. Someone, this carpenter of Nazareth, who has the answer. We know that as we look at this portion of scripture in verse 18, as Jesus said on him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God." So Jesus wanted to confront him with the realization of his position. He says, knowest thou the commandments? Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. He had done all of those things in life that he was commanded to do and felt he should do. And yet it wasn't working. It was one of those reflective moments to come to the conclusion that something's broken in my life and I need it fixed. And I need to come to the carpenter of Nazareth who is in the business of fixing. He had tried all these things and he had done them well. He wasn't the kind of individual that left his home and father and mother, like the one that's spoken of the young man that left his father and brother and then went into the wayside to spend his inheritance. That's not the kind of individual that we find here in Mark chapter 10 that comes to Jesus. This young man wanted to do all that was right and all that was good. And we see that as he answers the master that I have observed all these from my youth. He's talking about the relationship in character of man to man. In other words, he's the kind of individual that we'd say was a good person. He's the kind of individual that had a good report in the community. He's the kind of individual that someone could trust and go to and believe in. That's really what he was doing. And yet there was something missing in his life. Something wasn't working. Someone said he was suffering from the all things done. As we come to this weekend, many of you and I have not traveled down the road in the wrong direction. And as was stated already, that we need to come to the carpenter of Nazareth who is the fixer. If we find there's something that needs fixing. And you know, we get into those reflective moments at times when we're a state of confusion in our spiritual crisis in our lives, and we just don't feel quite right with our relationship with God and our relationship with mankind. This young man had come to that place. And although we go to church, and although we do all the right things, we pay our taxes, we pay our bills, we help in the community, we help in the church activities, it's not good enough. And that's the point that this young man needed to learn. And that's the point that the carpenter was trying to get to. Well, Jesus was really trying to say that he kept the rules, but that he never entered into the spirit of things. If you really want the joy that your children have, you must become like a child. Well, what is it about a child that I believe Jesus was referring to and reflecting on as we think about becoming like a child? I believe we can identify that, and especially those of you who have been parents. Realize that a child is extremely dependent. They're extremely dependent on their mothers and fathers for all the care of life. Jesus sat there holding in his arms the tiny baby, showing to this man, we believe, that the total dependence of his father and mother. They're extremely dependent. A child cannot survive outside of the care of an adult or a mother or father. Well, we also recognize that as we think about what is true about a child is that they need and want and give to the family love, appreciation, care, imagination, and on we can go. They become part of the family, but they need this care and they are extremely dependent. Well, we believe that's the key. That's the key that this young man needed to learn from the carpenter of Nazareth, the one who fixes things. Jesus wanted him to come to the realization that he needed to depend on the fixer of all things in order to come to the place to give his life totally to him. Because we see that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus didn't criticize him. Jesus knew what was in his heart. And he knew his heart wasn't right. And he knew the things that he was thinking were not right. And even though he tried to do all the right things, in the presence of Jesus, it was still not good enough. And Jesus simply says that he loved him. That he loved him. You know, one of the things that I think we need to keep telling ourselves over and over again, you know, we come to these reflective moments in our life when we know things aren't right. Maybe others don't know it, but we know it. And maybe others do know it. When we come to the point that we've not done something that we should have done, we've left something undone that we should have done, or maybe we've done something that we should not have done, we come to those conclusions, we have to keep telling ourselves over and over again, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Even when I am not lovable, and even when I do the wrong things at the wrong time and say the wrong things at the wrong place, think the wrong thoughts, we need to continue to tell ourselves, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Just as he did this young man who was suffering with all things having been done. And he says, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. What a challenge. What a challenge. Jesus wanted this young man to come to the realization that one of the aspects of being childlike is to recognize our dependence on God and God's Son and His Spirit for all things. And that can be difficult at times. You know, in the world in which you and I live, we hear phrases like, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Or, I don't need any help. I can take care of things of myself. I'm self-sufficient. I prepared and planned. And on we can go. That's not the kind of attitude that will get us to the place that Jesus says that we need the faith of a childlike. That we depend on him for all things. You know, when we are sick and ill, when we don't know what the doctor's report's going to say, when we're not sure about our children and what they're going to do when they're away from home, when there's a relationship between a husband and wife that just doesn't seem to be right, or there's a relationship between brothers and sisters that aren't just right, when you said something to your brother or sister in a way that you should not have said it, at a time you should not have said it. Those are the kinds of times when we reflect that brings us to the realization that we need to continue to say, Jesus loves me, and we need to look to him for our dependence on all things. It was a number of years ago that I went through a year of at least three illnesses and sicknesses. And I remember asking myself often, what is God trying to tell me? What is happening? What's going on? What have I done or not done? It's one of those crisis moments where we reflect. Well, I believe the brethren recognize that we need to stop, as was said already. We need to stop, and during fall and spring, at a time over the weekend that we could call Love Feast, that we could just reflect. What is our relationship with the carpenter of Nazareth? Do we have a childlike faith? Are we willing to rely on him for all things and depend on him for all things, even in the darkest moments of our life, even in the brightest moments of our life? Well, this is not a success story, because we read And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. This young man failed to follow the advice of the carpenter of Nazareth, who was the fixer, the one who could fix things, Jesus, the one who loved him, Jesus, the one who cared for him even when he did not want cared for, or even when he needed cared for and didn't realize it. This rich young ruler went away because he was wealthy. He hung on to the one thing that he felt was better and greater than Jesus. And he was not willing to give that up. I don't know what we hold on to. I don't know at times what you hold on to. But remember that we need to be really willing to release all those things into his care and depend on him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's difficult to do, especially at times when we reflect in a time of spiritual crisis and confusion in our lives. But one of the things you need to do, and one of the things that I need to do, that as we get ready to come to the Lord's tables, that spiritual confusion needs to be taken to the carpenter of Nazareth, who is the fixer of all things. And we will be able to experience the childlike faith that he talks about to this rich young ruler. Sue Monk Kidd writes, "He came clutching his handful of daisies. He came just as he did every day, past the nurse's desk where I was working, down the hospital corridor to his daughter's room. She was nearly six now, shut away in a world of unconsciousness and coma. Yet sometimes I heard him as he sat by her bedside talking to her about her dog or her brother or even the weather. I came into the room that day as he was stroking her hair with his hand and telling her a story. The daisies drooped over the sides of the little plastic cup positioned where she would see them if she opened her eyes. He paused at my entry and patted his daughter's hand. She was still, so still for an instant I looked with relief at the rise and the fall of the sheet over her chest. I wondered how he could sit there day after day without even getting a thank you from the flowers, without her eyes to follow his stories, without a smile to meet him or a hug even to flatter her eyelashes. He gave his love, and all he ever got returned was her slow, comatose breathing and the awful stillness. It must be hard to keep giving so much love when she's like this," I said gently. "I suppose," he answered, "but I'm keep coming and bringing the flowers and telling these stories even if she's oblivious to it. Because you see, I love her whether or not she loves me back." And suddenly there was a whisper tugging in my heart. When I am oblivious to God, when I ignore his gifts and fail to return his smile, when my response to his love is not so much as a blink of an eye, he still keeps coming back loving me anyway. For his love does not depend on my return. It's unconditional and eternal. Yet as a tender as a father who strokes my hair and waits, I slipped away. The tears swimming in my eyes were for the little girl who was loved so sublimely, but they were also for myself. Jesus loves us. He's in the fixing business. He challenges us, I believe, over a weekend like this weekend, that we need to renew our faith. And that faith needs to experience the childlike faith that he was trying to express to the rich young ruler. Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life for us on the cross. There isn't any one of us here this evening that deserved it. There wasn't anything that we ever did or could do or become or say or give. And he did it while we were still yet sinners. He died for us. Is it too hard for him to ask that we should reach out to him those things that are broken and give to him for fixing? He would love to do that and loves to do that. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you.